Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight over on Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Come out on Friday, August 26th and see Blastar there performing. And then on Sunday, August 28th, we're doing a filming for Loft Sessions. So come out to check out those events. There's a lot of other things going on too, so it's always a fun hangout. Come over there and you can watch one of your favorite bands perform in the studio, recording a new record or tracks. And they've got Cha Cha Chow next door, so you can get some tacos. They got drinks going on at the Gaslight. Just a really neat experience as a fan and as a musician. They got some top-notch recording equipment, and they just they make a really nice sound. So check out GaslightSTL.com for more details. Book yourself a tour. Come check it out. Again, GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well.
Hey guys, we want to tell you about an awesome show coming up August 27th at
the Old Rock House.
With the Old Soul Survival,
the Daisy Ad,
Mount Thelonious.
Cover is $8 at the door, and we hope to see you guys all there. It's going to be a really fun night, and there may even be a video involved.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Bald Eagle Mountain, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors, y'all.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Edwardsville, Illinois. Hanging out with the guys of Bald Eagle Mountain.
Hey,
welcome to the show, guys.
How are you?
Yeah, I took a little road trip. I travel a lot for the show, but this was only like an hour. It wasn't too bad for my house, but I haven't been out to Edwardsville in a while. But,
thank you.
Good to be out here. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having me over here. So you guys were at practice, you guys have a little studio.
Dog Bay Studios.
Yeah, very cool. So we were jamming for a little bit, and then now we're going to sit down and talk. But I'm excited to officially meet you guys. I mean, you guys have kind of been on the radar for a while. We have a lot of mutual friends, and a lot of people have been telling me make this happen, and finally the stars aligned and we're here, and so I'm excited to get to talk all about the band and new tunes and all kinds of stuff. So I guess let's start at the beginning. I mean, where's Bald Eagle Mountain get started?
It's a good story.
Yeah, okay, so
it's a fun story.
Adam here.
And oh yeah, we should probably forgot about that part.
Okay, so Adam, singer, guitar guy,
multi-instrumentalist,
and Dave Lowe.
My name's Dave. I play drums.
Dave, who plays the drums, he and I were drinking this wonderful bourbon.
Elijah Craig.
Yeah, yes, a fifth.
Blood one.
Drank a lot of this, probably all of said fifth. In an evening,
at the
kitchen island in the house I was renting out in Highland, Illinois one night. And we're like, you know, wouldn't it be funny if there was this band that was like called Bald Eagle Mountain and they had these songs? And so we wrote out like a set list. And so
just riffing.
And you just like, you know, making up a fictitious set.
Drunk.
Drunk as shit. You know, that this band would perform.
But they had played before.
Yeah.
It wasn't two strangers.
Yeah, we're,
this was like reuniting.
Yeah, so we had played music a long time ago, but it was like, so after we made this drunk set list, all of a sudden it was like the inspiration for Dave to buy another drum set, and we're going to play some music, and if it's horrible, cool. And if it's just the two of us and we can't attract any other flies
then
to
God
our...
God damn it, we're going to play it all the same.
We'll just play it. Yeah. So, anyway, Dave and I start playing, and we're playing in a basement. I moved to St. Louis, and we're playing... And we were talking about our paths crossing earlier, right?
Right.
So you know the guys in the wilderness who were the guys in the Jungle Fire, right? And, like, I was over in St. Louis playing with those cats... And Dave Chapman, I moved to St. Louis actually to be closer to St. Clair, Missouri, to play with the Good Time Engineers. So, you know, the Dave Chapman connection. So here's all our little, you know, degrees of separation.
Right.
Anyway, so Dave and I are playing in this basement in Carondelet and woodland away. And then I moved back over here, and then I convinced Bob that he should come over and play guitar. And after about a year, I think he came over and... started playing some guitar, and then
suddenly it's a three-piece.
March of 2013.
And then I think I'm walking back from the playground at the end of the
night. I'm using your equipment.
The neighborhood here. While
I didn't
Bob's,
have equipment,
Bob's,
just so you know, I didn't have
Bob's
anything.
Bob's using my gear.
Your guitar.
And my guitar, and we're okay. Making noise. And then I see Rick one night walking back from the playground and say, hey, we want to play... You know, come on down on Tuesday night. Tuesday night's jam night, you know.
And I totally tried to duck him. Oh, man, I don't play anymore. I got a job. I got kids. He says, Rick, I live on the other side of the block. Pick up your guitar and walk over here and plug into our stuff.
Right. Seriously, it's like 2 minutes away.
Well, all right. But I didn't, I don't know, a long sordid tale with my musical past, but I decided that I really only wanted to play bass anymore.
Yeah.
And Adam, who was the bass player, graciously stepped into the guitar spot and just took that over and ruled it, and let me walk in and plug in as, you know, the lowly bass player.
Yeah.
Never went back.
So
it started out just me and Adam. Yeah. I was playing drums, he was playing bass and singing. Like, he would sing on half the songs, you know, we'd do instrumental jams, because it was just two of us.
It's a science project.
Yeah, it was a science project. We're like, we wrote out a 10-song set, and... You know,
but
we
keep
were
in mind, you guys have been playing together,
Yeah,
with
we
one mind.
Yeah.
For the last 25 years.
Oh yeah,
let's
yeah.
keep that mind. We played together. We're talking off and on for 25 years.
We played together in other bands
right.
with other people and yeah. all grew, that stuff.
Grew up, sharing grew, the same mind.
We grew up yeah. down the street from each other. Yeah, as kids. Yeah. We're, so we're like child. We're childhood.
We've known each other for 20 years.
That's what you were down the street.
So basically, we're standing out on his driveway one night and drinking bourbon, and we're like, "Hey, let's go just write a set." And, you know, like, it's all about this fictitious band. And so we wrote a set and we're like, "Hey, let's just start jamming."
I mean, 13 song titles.
Yeah, right. yeah.
With
so
no
we,
music.
We,
just yeah. song titles.
Just song titles.
That's
I'm like, "Hey, let's write the music for all these songs." And so, you know, so once he moved to South St. Louis, I pieced together a drum set, started playing. And we played a couple shows, just me and Adam.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And we'd go up there and play, and guys would be like, "Man, you guys are brave," you know, just for being the two of us.
And I was like, "Does that mean we did well, or yeah, does that mean we means, were like sucking pretty bad?" And yeah. It's like, wow. You guys
so
are
after a while,
really sucked
you know,
it up.
Then Bob came in and played guitar, and then once
but they had played with Bob before too.
Yeah,
yeah.
We played with
this
Bob.
Total stranger at the bar.
Yeah,
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
We played with Bob, and
hey, you look like a nice guitar player.
Oh yeah. So we've all known each other for a really long time. And then,
yeah, we played. We played in a band a long time.
Yeah. Then once no, Rick started playing bass, then Adam took over on guitar, and he plays guitar instead of bass. And then
yeah.
so we have two guitar players, one bass player, and drums.
Dogs and cats living together.
And dogs
pure
and cats.
Ass. Mm-hmm. But Adam couldn't just give up the guitar completely. So when they were the three piece, there were a couple of songs he'd written on bass.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. So how?
So
yeah.
we traded. We
so
traded.
They would trade, right? So
yeah,
Bob
yeah.
started playing bass on a couple of songs.
Yep.
And
yeah.
then back again.
Yeah.
So when
switched.
I came in,
which was by the
and
way,
started
the first
playing
time
the bass,
I ever played bass. Ever.
We couldn't make Bob okay. stop playing his bass
yeah.
parts on the parts that he wrote himself. So I play guitar. Bob plays the bass. And
yeah.
it's just a musical miracle.
So we have
yeah.
three songs where Bob's playing bass and Rick's playing
yeah.
guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Obviously, watching you guys jam, I saw the switch, and it was I thought that was cool to see you guys doing that. And like I've seen it, you know, you don't see it a ton, but yeah, occasionally you'll see some members swap and stuff, and like, and it's just kind of fun to, especially for I'm sure for the live show, it's cool to see people just hey, we'll swap guitars now, or go somebody else goes on the drum kit or whatever, you know, various things. And, you know,
we probably like, won't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Dave's got a drum.
Dave's got that.
Dave's got the drum job. Every time I try to play drums,
every time he tries,
I try to play drums every once in a while. They're like, "You're fired."
Yeah. You know what? You can play a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, then he just submits his application with a different name.
I'm kidding.
Sure.
Yeah.
Different band.
When you look at guys like you know Sully from Godsmack or. Or you know Dave Grohl or something. You know these guys are like frontmen of the band,
oh,
but
yeah.
they are also like world class drummers too. Like
yeah,
you know,
right.
so like they, you know, it's just kind of crazy to think that they can just jump back
switch
there.
Switch heads.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So this is so a couple years in the making then, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
sure.
We've been
6 years.
Yeah.
6 years.
Like 2010.
Yeah.
yeah
since
we started
like
jamming.
December of 2010.
Talk. What well, we drank whiskey.
Yeah,
yeah. and it was spawned from
not
Urban.
Us.
Spawned from Urban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 6 years later, here we are, grown from two to four, and I don't know. We're still kind of open to whatever, you know. We're still picking up pieces and
still changes.
More fun and
we're
changing.
We're two to four,
and,
four, but we're six from ten.
Yeah. Hitting me with the fist. Sorry, I can't calculate.
Yeah. Well, you like I said, we earlier was saying new tunes. You guys are gearing up for a full length release sometime soon.
Yeah, in the near future.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got eight songs.
Yeah, eight songs coming
yeah.
up. We have the artwork finalized. Everything's getting finalized. So
yeah.
hopefully we have a release date for everyone very, very soon.
Before sure. the end of the year.
Yeah, before the end of the year was the goal.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I know, you know, I remember a while back checking out the... When I heard the name and stuff, I went online. I saw you guys had you have Shredder and...
War is a Racket.
Yeah, War is a Racket on... currently available on Bandcamp and Spotify and iTunes and stuff. So, so I listened to those two tunes, and I like I said, it was, I really like those, and so I'm excited to hear more. So hopefully,
yeah. And then we're gonna go in the studio in September and record probably three or four more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, with the same studio encapsulated.
Yeah, encapsulated with Gabe.
Yeah, I just I was hanging with Gabe over the weekend.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, yeah. Gabe's awesome
for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. That was yeah. Watched I mentioned Seth Wilderness. I was hanging with all those guys at Jekyll Fest. So it was, I was telling you guys about off mic.
Yeah.
It was a real good time. So yeah, what is that? You thinking those tunes? Are you just gonna see how it goes, or is that a, like I'm thinking maybe an EP out of that, or what are you looking to do with
the
that?
New recordings?
Yeah,
I would say it would be the beginning of the next record.
Yeah, probably
the beginning. So the next record, we do it,
chomp it off in bite-sized
portions. Next one will be bigger.
Man, instead of like going and like dropping this whole thing, we throw a couple down every now and again. And
sure, but the next one will be more full length than this one.
Yeah,
as this one is more 80s record.
Right.
The next one will be more like a 70s record.
Okay.
Like 12. With like 9 minutes.
Oh, you're talking about track line.
Not sound.
Like the amount of tracks and the length of tracks.
It is kind of.
I'm a little tired of 3 minutes.
Sure.
Ready for some 7-8 minutes. You know.
It is kind of funny how like
period.
Yes.
even I guess you know probably a lot of it has to do. I mean, all of it probably has to do with radio. But the fact that like you know you look at like. 50s and stuff. You had your like 2 minute songs and stuff. And then like it involved in by the 70s, like you're saying, like these seven, you know, or you got like
having fun
doing a whole set.
Right.
Having fun. Yeah, yeah. Get your dazed and confused for 26 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Where's my dazed and confused?
Yeah. What's Anna God of Davida or something's like half an hour or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of, and then of course you know now we're
right.
Now we're,
yeah, but then it went back to the 2.5 minute,
right?
You know,
but yeah, I guess that's all radio once. I know I've heard some stories about like you know from DJs and stuff on in like how like they have their bathroom break song they throw on you know because they know that gives them like 7-8 minutes to run down to the bathroom and
right.
stuff. And, so maybe
and why not?
So the so the next record might have one of those 8 minute jams.
A bathroom break.
They'll get you a
break song.
They'll get you a beer. We'll still be going. Yeah, go get you a chicken neck.
Yeah. I want them to listen to the jams, man.
Well, they will.
I don't want them to make a hoe boy while they're like, you know. Yeah. Oh, that my little track, so I'm going to make a hoe boy.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
I don't know.
What'd you just say?
Definitely stack the spread before you press play.
like I said, you guys also have a cool show coming up. Let's I figure we get this plug out there for that. But you guys will be at Blueberry Hill in the Del Mar Loop August 26th with the Delta Saints.
Yeah.
And I love those guys. They are a lot of fun to watch. They're just a great band. We've been following them for a few years. Saw them at Firebird not too long ago, maybe a year ago or something like that. But yeah, just a real solid group of guys, and they've been at it for a couple of years and then hustling, trying to make it, and they have really good sound. And so yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah, it's gonna
be
a fun show.
We're just
we're thrilled,
grateful to be added to that great bill.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that room.
Playing
or listening.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. That's the duck room is just a fun place.
They are so nice to us.
It always
sounds
awesome.
Yeah. And then you guys were just there a little bit ago with Monster Truck opening that show up.
Yeah.
They are the real deal.
Yeah.
I would say that they sound better live than their album. Their album sounds great.
Their album sounds pretty good.
And live, it is unreal. Unreal.
Yeah, they throw down.
Totally do.
They got like vintage amps and stuff, and they're like bending those things to their will.
Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty wicked. It was a fun time.
It was a good time.
Yeah, that's always a nice surprise when you kind of have an idea of what they sound like from the record, and then you go to a show and it just blows your mind even more. And like, and
exceeds the expectation.
Totally.
Obviously, can go the extreme other way too. But but yeah, it's nice when a band can outperform their studio stuff. And but there's something about that energy. That's what I love about live music. You know, it's something just about.
And they coaxed the amateur stripper up out of the stage.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sure.
And their little friend. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
They moved people to move.
The keyboard player of that band was like trying to make these
please get off the stage. Because
like the stripper got up and was like doing some dance moves out, but then she dragged her little friend up too, who like wandered over to the keyboard player.
He's like,
he was trying to play with one hand with the other hand like holding their back.
And a foot. You can't see it, but he's trying to ward it off.
Okay, there might be a little bit of embellishing going on there.
No.
No, that was pretty close to that though.
He was grabbing the cattle prod.
Stage manager. Please get her out of here.
Honey, you're confused on who's actually performing here.
Right.
I'll put you
down. You guys are getting to share the stage with some nice national touring acts and stuff. I mean, is there somebody, that you'd be love to share the stage with, or something that's not kind of a bucket list or anything like that?
He reached a bucket list.
Yeah, I got a bucket list. Yeah.
Adam reached
off,
a bucket list.
What, about a year ago, I guess?
Yeah.
We opened for Mike Watt.
Yeah, we opened for Mike Watt.
Yeah.
And
sweet.
His El Songo del Mariano project.
Yeah.
With, it was just a, he's great.
Talk about exceeding the expectations from the recording.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, so that was jaw dropping.
Yeah, they were a trio. Mike Watt, who, if you're not familiar, is the bass player from the Minutemen and the band Firehose. He's done solo work. Plays for Iggy and the Stooges, and I think the Reformed Stooges. And
countless.
The list goes on.
Kelly Clarkson. Seriously.
Yeah.
He played bass on 3 songs of like Kelly Clarkson's first album. Kidding me? Yes.
The guy is serious. He's a dude though.
Go
dude.
Mikey. Yeah.
Go Mikey.
Mike Wyatt he's the man. He's a dude. I think he's even like made appearances on like Lemonhead's record.
For sure.
And like, you know. Anyway. So
Letterman.
So right. But he's like a huge piece of not only like punk rock history, get in the van, do it yourself, ethos. He's just my bass god, you know. So I got to open for my bass god, ironically playing guitar in the band that opened for my bass god. But I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. It was a show with Mike Watt.
Man, he's the nicest guy.
He is like super duper awesome, nice guy. I hope that I grow up to be a wonderful Elvis.
I bought his bobblehead.
Rock and roll like he did.
Yeah, I bought his bobblehead. It was awesome. And he signed it. He was gracious.
He signed a record. The whole band signed a record. They're just good dudes, man. Down to earth. It was cool. It was like, you know, sometimes you meet people who you idolize and they turn out to be kind of dicks.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, not cool. Totally into themselves, and then you meet somebody like Watt, who's like down to earth and cool dude.
Sure.
Yeah. Man talked to us, and he was like, hey, talk about going to find a restaurant on Del Mar, and went out with his backpack on.
He's
going to go see St. Louis, man.
See you later. Yeah, he's just a dude. He's the man in the van with the plan.
Yeah.
With the bass in his hand. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, that was, checklist,
cool.
Bucket list. Boom. With my dudes.
Yeah.
Couldn't even be better than that to play a show like that with your best friends.
Right.
Oh, high five.
Squishy.
Oh, squishy.
Yeah. Very cool. You, what about the rest of you guys? You have, for Adam it was bass, but do you guys have certain guys you still look up to, idolize and stuff? And
absolutely.
Yeah.
If I say it, though, I'm afraid to say it.
Oh, Bob, is this like a guilty pleasure?
No, absolutely not.
I mean,
you
already were talking about listening to Kelly Clarkson. So.
He played on the album.
Yeah.
No, that's fact.
Bob's a trivia master.
You can Google that shit. He played for her, man. That guy's something else.
Right.
No, I would say who I would like to open for, but, you know, I want to want to get beat up by a whole group of hipsters or something.
Is it Iron Maiden?
I would like to open for Iron Maiden.
Who else? Dokken?
George Lynch.
Every form George Lynch.
George Lynch, yeah. I would like to open for like KXM.
Okay.
You know, one of George's projects. Yeah, I would. That'd, I don't care.
Be fun.
You know, I would like to open for Slipknot. That won't happen, but that's okay.
Is it too late to finish the?
I did get to open. We did get to open for Slipknot. We did.
Before Corey was.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. That's an odd story.
We played in another band that played in Des Moines at Safari, and it was whenever they were just getting their start. You know,
it was just. It was. They were called Pig Sisters.
Yeah, and they were wearing.
And they were just two guys short of what they became.
Yeah.
And the singer was different.
And that's what I'm talking about. The drummer and the singer were different.
Yeah. The singer from that band wanted to do something else that was notable in the metal scene.
I do know that one, but I can't think of it at the moment.
Yeah, I can't remember it. It's like Pain Face or something.
Pain.
Like that.
What do you mean you can't remember? You just said it.
I don't know. Right?
Here we are. Here
I don't know if that's for sure.
Yeah, the eidetic memory strikes again.
Whatever. Okay, so.
You know.
7 degrees of the Kevin Bacon of metal.
Yeah.
Not. This may sound boisterous. But I've been opening for national acts and bands that I've been in since I was 19 years old. So I've opened for a few, you know. So
just a couple.
Just a couple.
Right.
And I'm very fortunate. I'm just happy they had us there, trust me. I'm not saying that, God damn it, we were better than them or anything like that. I'm just happy we were there. So there's been quite a few I've been very fortunate to be. I'm not going to go into the list. I'm just like, I'm very fortunate at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it a lot, but for me, like, you know, I coming up as a big Urge fan, and then like getting to hang with like guys like Steve Ewing. Now he's been on my show a couple of times, and
nice.
And get to call him friend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's for me. I've never been in a band, never opened up a show like you guys, but like for me, like that's my kind of moment, like where I can
I
can get to hang out with him and like and you know essentially. Share the stage, a sort of you know, kind of thing with him for a moment.
And,
oh yeah, sure, man.
I went to his restaurant two weeks ago with my little brother to Steve Ewing's the hot dogs on the hill.
Yeah,
and it was the jam. And then he walks right through the restaurant, and I'm like, dude, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
I think I went like 2 years and did miss a show, like an Urge show.
Yeah,
like and they played Mississippi Nights all the time.
Oh man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was. I actually just recorded a podcast in Steve's Hot Dogs Tower Grove. That was a pretty good time.
I want to know when Steve is going to re-release the early Urge albums, like the Urge Put the Backbone Back album, because that was like that was the soundtrack to like my junior year. Steve, I need that reissued. I need to be able to download that on iTunes. Urge Put the Backbone Back. It's the jam.
I just picked up a copy. From Walter over at CD Warehouse on a CD version of it. So
yeah.
Nice. So I'm trying to complete my collection of the complete discography.
Oh man,
so
worthy.
Yeah.
So not to backtrack. So now you, who would you like to open for?
Man, I don't even know where to start.
Talking to Rick. Talking to Rick here because I want to know. I want to know this as well as you do. I mean, I want to know.
Yeah.
I would open up for any of the defunct grunge bands from back in the day. That had
like the Sub Pop guys? Or
like some Mother Love Bone?
Just Ben Heavy.
Fishbone?
I would like
that.
Yeah.
awesome. Did you hear that Temple of the Dog is going on tour?
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think they're only doing,
they're doing like four or five shows. Or
it's a check.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that'd still be a pretty good time.
It'll be good.
Yeah,
I know Chris Cornell was at Sheldon not too long ago.
Yeah, he did.
And I would have loved to see that. Like that would have been pretty cool. Especially Sheldon's just a great room. Like
sounds good in there.
Now your turn.
I don't know, man. I always like
Neil Young comes back with Crazy Horse.
I always like the '90s stuff.
Be my pick.
You know.
That's who you're opening for.
Holy crap.
I saw them at the Fox, and Sonic Youth and Social Distortion played with them.
Man.
It's like the trifecta of the Jazzmaster.
It was fucking cool.
It's a Jazzmaster trifecta right there.
Yeah. I would probably say Chili Peppers.
There you go.
Darn. You and Dave Chapman.
Yeah.
So one of the best shows I ever saw in my life was Pumpkins, Pearl Jam, and
Jimmy Buffett. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chad
one of the best shows of my life.
Yeah. Big influence.
That
sure.
was crazy.
Sure. Yeah, I said Neil Young. I saw Neil at a Farm Aid in Kansas City once.
Wow.
Really?
It was a pretty good time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he have a band or was it just him?
Yeah, they, yeah, it was him, and then, of course, Willie and Mellencamp and all, yeah, they all had their full bands, and,
nice.
And then, Lucas Nelson, Willie's son, opened up too, and one of my favorites, he's a lot of fun to watch.
He played the Stagger.
Yeah.
Just Lucas down the road.
Yeah.
Lucas Nelson.
He played with Willie when I saw him at the Peabody this year.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
Or, Lucas is he's a hell of a guitar player, man, and then, like, he sounds a lot like his dad vocally, but man, he's like, yeah, he's a, I mean, he's a rocker for sure.
Yeah,
like
he rocks it.
Yeah.
His guitar playing is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, watching him play with his teeth and everything too, like he's a wild man on stage. It's but yeah, I've seen him at Old Rock House a couple of times, and it's just it's always a lot of fun.
Did you send him a song?
I figured we'll answer some of these questions. I like to throw these picture of you guys up online and have your
invite ridicule.
Yeah. Usually, like I said, usually it's just ends up being a bunch of your buddies leaving a bunch of wise ass remarks, and I think that's pretty much what we got. So if it's loading, I don't know. I'm not getting much luck here. Don't worry, we can pause for station identification.
This is Bald Eagle Mountain at Dog Bite Studios.
Yeah.
Edwardsville, Illinois, 62025.
Do you need the questions from the Facebook?
Yeah, yours are working.
Yeah.
Mine's just sitting there spinning.
Cool.
All right. So we have couple questions from the fans, and Andy Range asked where it all began, but I think we pretty well covered that.
I think we painted the origin story backwards and forwards.
Right.
Yeah. I think Andy's got his answer.
Yeah, but he also asked about you guys playing Cicero's before. He says,
John, man.
Yeah,
John.
He says, every band has played Cicero's, right? I want to hear their stories of playing there.
Yeah, we played there a couple times.
I think we played at Cicero's back in our two-person, when we were still a duo,
you and I played there.
Before
and
Rick and Bob had joined.
And the four of us have played there twice.
Yeah, and we've been fortunate. We've known a lot of good folks who've worked there over the years.
I played back in the Cicero's basement bar with the Bishops from Alton, all the probably.
Wow.
When Cicero's was not in its current location.
Right
at the old Cicero's.
Yeah. I was mistaken for a homeless person sitting outside the original Cicero's, where the Duck Room is now, essentially, right? On that corner of Delmar. sitting outside a show, a buddy of mine had to take this girl home who, like, you tried to use a fake ID. You don't use a fake ID at Cicero's. And she gets busted, of course, and, like, he takes her back to her house. I guess it was Belleville. And I'm waiting for him after the show to come back from Belleville to pick me up because my car was at his place, right? So some lady, like, comes up and asks me, "Honey, are you okay? Do you have enough to eat?" And I was like, Are you talking to me?
It's like,
I just came out of a rock show and I'm sweaty. And she's like, "Oh, I thought you were homeless and needed help." And I was like, "Wow, I must really need to change my clothes."
That would have said $50 would change my
life. I did have hair like down to my waistband at that time. And that was a long time ago, but still, homeless guy.
$300.
Cicero's. So that's my Cicero's story. I was a homeless dude outside the old Cicero's. Not a homeless dude or child. I was a man child at that time.
JB writes in, better bar, Jake's or Stagger?
Man, that's tough. That's I know that
Edwardsville, so I'm saying Stagger.
Yeah, Bob's from.
That's a lot closer drive home.
I'm gonna have to make a confession.
It's a much closer crawl home.
I'm gonna have to make a confession. Growing up in Grand City, I've never been inside Jacob Meyer's Tavern. So,
I played there once. It was cool room.
Yeah. So I'll have to say I'm gonna have to say Stagger too. Please, no prison shivs if I ever set foot in that bar.
And if for no other reason than the total imbalance of the attendance, you know, I went to Jake's once.
Yeah.
Stagger, I used to live there. I'm surprised they didn't charge me rent.
Yeah, some of my earliest Rick stories actually probably have Stagger punctuating those stories.
Yeah, we've been going to Stagger a long time.
Since I was 17.
I mean,
what's that?
Easy.
Gabe writes in, do they hear my prayers to them every night to be half as good as they are when I grow up?
Gabe, I'm tone deaf. You guys are good, man.
Which music god are you praying to?
I don't know, man. I pray to be as half as good as you guys when I grow up. Maybe I'll grow up.
If I could competently strum the strings and sing as well as you at the same time, I'd be doing okay. Yeah, I'd be doing great.
And you guys...
I'm lucky to flail my fingers at the strings and land on the right notes.
If I remember correctly, they have the guitar amps that glow blue in the dark, too. So
either way.
You guys are a little cooler than we are.
Way.
He does have the voice of an angel.
He does.
Yeah.
Angel voice.
Yeah. And Dave Chapman writes in here.
Oh, gosh.
It's all.
What's up, Dave?
Dave
Chapman is my dude.
Yeah.
I think we've referenced him multiple
times. You better wait until he asks his question.
No. It's probably good.
So he writes in, Adam, how do you get such a good tone? Also, will you set my amp up?
So I got to clarify that. A little clarification. Dave Chapman, he would always ask me to, like, he'd be like, hey, play my bass amp and let me know how you think it sounds. We played together years ago in the Good Time Engineers.
When you were playing keyboard.
Yeah, and I was playing keys, and he'd be like, play my bass and let me know what you think it sounds like. And I'd fiddle with it, and I'd be like, doo-doo-doo, and turn the, like, EQ and mess with his amp. And he'd be like, oh, man, I've been trying to get it to sound like that for... I'm like, well, all I did was this. And he's like, you should do this every time. So it's kind of an inside joke now. Dave, I love you, brother.
He would only let you tie his shoes.
Yeah, but...
Like, he would play, and his shoes would come untied, and I would tie them for him. That was the only thing I was allowed to do for right. Dave. Yeah. He didn't ask me to fix his amp. Nothing. Just tie my shoes.
Dave Chapman?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys Converse All-Stars?
All the time.
Red
Fire. He was like, when I'm playing and I'm on fire and they come untied, just tie it for me. I'm like, shit. Adam gets to fix the amp and I get to tie his shoes.
Hey, take what you
can get. But I was happy for it. I mean, no, I would, yeah.
Take what you can get from a great like Dave Chapman.
But, I mean, I want to turn out.
His mohawk is going to set the world on fire.
For sure.
Yeah.
One of these days.
I love you, Dave.
Yeah, the hawk was back, man.
Thanks for letting me tie your shoes, Dave.
He writes, and also, Bob, how does it feel to be a rock god? Do you put your pants on like everyone else? Yellow in the front, brown in the back.
Dude, you totally called that. How did you know? He's psychic, man.
Courtney read it to me before I come over. But my answer to that is, what pants?
Good thing it's a podcast. He's not wearing pants.
I'm not wearing pants right now. Somebody said no video.
I didn't want to bring it up.
Good thing this isn't a video podcast.
Yeah. He writes in also, Dave, do you try to play greaser beats or are you just greasy?
I think we all know the answer to that question. Sorry, Dave. I'm not getting a chance to answer it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm greasy, but...
You're greasy.
But I think you're greasy.
You're greasy, bro.
I'm not exactly sure what greaser beats are, but if that's what I play...
Dude, you know you gotta have more peace with the grease.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to also, since, you know, like I said, we...
Well, can we at least make up a Dave Chapman question for me? I feel left
out. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Dave Chapman asked Rick...
why didn't I ask Rick a question?
And the answer, of course, is 42.
Yeah,
42. Right.
But what's the question? Oh, right. Why didn't he ask you a question?
42. Always 42.
Yep.
Roger Thea.
So JB wrote in and reminded me, you guys just recently recorded over at Gaslight Studios.
Yes,
there?
We did. Oh, yeah. It was pretty badass.
Yeah,
too. Yeah. We're plotting our return there too. That it's a that was a whole different experience. To, number one, it's a fantastic studio. The craftsmanship. I mean, you feel like you're walking through a work of art. For sure. Know?
Yeah,
And I mean, it was the first time we'd ever done anything like that. It's such a cool concept to where you're working in a studio, you're recording, and there's people who are like hanging out at the bar and listening to what you're doing, and
even, at radio level.
And at radio level, it's not ear splitting like a regular rock
concert.
And they're you know, chowing down on super good grub, and the beer selection's killer. I mean, I know there's some Four Hands beers in there, so I could.
Our engineer was bad.
I could not get to
no doubt.
Yeah, Zach Gibbons was man the helm that night.
Yeah,
and fantastic stuff
for sure.
We just have too many awesome options as far as the studios go, and Gaslight is definitely our next studio visit.
Yeah,
we're all a bunch of old shitheads, and we're just happy that people are just willing to even entertain us.
Yeah, they brought us in there to come in and record. And
I think we broke their drum cherry,
and had some live drums and whatnot, and it was really a cool experience, a neat setup.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Zach's been on the show. He's a friend of the show, and
an amazing, accomplished musician.
Yeah, yeah, the guy has got his hands in all kinds of different projects, and it's cool to see the hustle with him. I mean, playing drums all over the place, and then of course being a fantastic engineer as well.
For sure.
Yeah. But now Gaslight, proud sponsor of Rock Paper Podcast. So. Yeah. I'm proud to
coming full circle.
Yeah, here. I'm very excited to have them on board. And their support.
I'm still waiting for the next episode of Getting Shibby with Gibby.
Yeah.
So anytime now, the dance moves, whatever. I'm right. Waiting.
You know, I guess full disclosure, right? JB, owner or part owner of Gaslight, and I, we were driver's ed buddies almost over 20 years ago.
Closer to 30.
Well, easy now. and the old Granite City. So it was cool to cross paths again. And,
yeah, very cool.
And be in the musical capacity.
Yeah. We just recently met, and he's just been super cool, man. Just everything jumped on board, and it really means a lot to me to have somebody believing in what I'm doing and stuff and supporting, so thank you, JB, if you're listening to this.
Oh man, yeah. You're doing great work, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thanks
the Gaslight
for everything that you're doing.
Gaslight is a great idea. I wish the Gaslight was around
20
you know
years ago.
20 years ago, exactly. Yeah, because it's a restaurant and a studio and a bar and a studio.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where you're like, man, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really cool concept.
Sure. Yeah.
Well executed.
I was over there just a bit ago. They had Cluster Pluck in, and they were doing their thing in the studio. And I was just, you know, this was my first time really getting to be a fan on the other side of the window. So it was really cool to, you know, my perspective too, to be to listening and watching and stuff. And it's kind of funny because we were all like clapping and stuff after every song because, you know, it's.
They
what do
can't
you do?
Hear you.
Yeah, but it's like, I was like, we need a mic out here so they can hear us clapping.
Look at the miming going on. Okay.
Yeah, but no, it was really it's a unique experience. It's like it's very cool. So
talk about another great group of musicians.
Inside of the glass, I felt like the sea lions at the zoo. Like,
oh yeah,
people sitting around eating.
Look at them in their natural habitat.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
The wild musician of beasts.
Yeah, Clusterfuck, man, they're a lot of fun. I love them all, and they've become good friends over the years now too. And but yeah, they're not They're from not far away, just down the street. So, yeah. Well, so we got some tunes you guys wanted to play. And some of these are currently unreleased, right?
Correct. Currently,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think one of them has been released. I think Shredder's been out there for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And then the three others are going to be off the upcoming release.
Yeah. So,
you want to play P. Wonderly first?
Are these some of the originals that you guys just made up names and then made songs, or?
Some are.
Some of them are. I think Shredder is one that was on
Shredder
the original
is
list.
Tire Iron to the Face.
Tire Iron to the Face is one of the.
So the title existed before a musical album.
The
songs
the title
were written
from
to
the original
to the title. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a reversal of how things work. Normally, you have a song and the title comes from a line or a general theme of your song. Whereas
we wrote
these song titles and had to write a song to fit worthy of the title.
Like a Mad Libs or something.
But
we've written a bunch since then, you know, now that, you know.
Yeah,
that's
double
really
the membership
thing
all of a sudden.
We've pretty much surpassed our original 13 song set list, and we're on our way to new territory for sure.
It reminds me, my friend's Apollo's daughter, I think it was one of their brothers or somebody suggested it, so they ran with it. But somebody suggested writing a song called Kurt Russell's Muscles, just because they thought it would be a fun song title. So they did. So they have and it's one of my favorite songs they have. So it's,
yeah. I think I've heard that song.
Yeah, it's a good one. But yeah, it just all came out of hey, name a song this, and then they ran with it. And
yeah, working titles can you can be damned to be stuck with your working title if you're not careful.
Well, we've got a bunch of instrumental stuff, so the title you have to name it. They won't let you leave the baby from the hospital unless it's got something on the birth certificate. And the same thing with the new song. You know it's going to stick around once it's got some inane title to it,
right?
And then it grows up.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a song called Experiment 61, and we named it that because it was the first recording that we had.
Yeah, we had like voice memos
we had
phone.
Just all these recordings of
it's all Bobby McFerrin. Basement.
This is recording 61.
Yeah, so yeah, and yeah, a lot. Some of the names are just working titles that we just let's call it this.
Yeah. Well, very cool. So yeah, we'll throw those tunes on. We got like I said. Shredder, Not Your Parents, Tire Iron, and P. Wonderly.
P. Wonderly's got a little backstory.
Tire Iron to the Face.
Tire Iron to the Face.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4! Yeah!
Pee Wonder League Mine is about Adam's place.
Yeah. Well, I bought this house around the block from the studio here, and there are these old coal mines.
You didn't know it, but the area is inundated with old coal mines.
Yeah, we have old coal mines, so like a lot of this neighborhood that we're in is undermined, so you have to buy mine subsidence insurance when you get your homeowner's insurance.
That's what that was they were trying to tell.
And, yeah, whoa, you didn't get that, Bob.
No, it's a hill slips down the hill.
That's a
combined there with the St. Andrews.
Anyway,
bowl, right?
So when I moved in, I did a little research, found out there are these old mines that were closed in the late 1800s, so like 1880s, 1890s. And one is called the Pee Wonderly Mine. It's directly in the woods across the little creek behind my house, just around the block here. And I was like, well, I'm going to write a song about this mine. And so the song is loosely based on real, well, actual events, embellished for Hollywood. Nobody died.
They were aware.
But in my song,
it's a mine, dude.
And my song,
they did.
And my song,
oh, yeah,
died. So
don't tell anybody. Okay.
So yeah,
pay off the widow. You know, one of those kind
of
things.
So I was able to write a song inspired by the woods behind my house and this big hole in the ground, a big pile of mine waste that sits in the woods behind my house. So, I don't know. I like music being honest, so I told a little lie.
Nice.
Yeah. That's cool. I like I said, I'm about an hour away, so I'm not sure. I didn't know a lot of the history of Edwardsville here, so.
Well, and just next door in Glen Carbon, the big mining town, you know, Glen Carbon.
Yeah.
Coal was king here about 100 years ago.
Right. Well, very cool, guys. So we got August 26th, Blueberry Hill with Delta Saints. And then keep an eye out. New album coming soon. You guys...
with artwork from the infamous Jim Harper.
Yeah, Jim Harper. Oh, yeah. Can't let the podcast go by without giving a shout-out to...
What's up, Jim?
Jim Harper.
You, I'm assuming you guys are... gonna throw some kind of a party, release party for us?
Yes, we will. Right now, no plan.
Yeah.
But we'll announce plans soon enough. But
cool. I'm gonna say thank you to my brother Chuck because he paid for three of our songs.
Yep, that are coming out.
That's coming out on this next record.
Thank you, Chuck.
You know, so thank you, Chuck.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
The investor.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nice. Well, of course, you guys are on. But Facebook and Instagram, and they can
and
follow
Bandcamp.
And Bandcamp, they can follow you on there. Keep an eye out for that announcements.
Listen to KDHX; they'll tell you.
Yeah, yep. There you go.
So, how far down this rabbit hole are we going? We talking about like histories here? Are we getting into some history, or
I think he's wrapping it up.
Is that right?
Yeah,
because we haven't talked to Mikey yet.
Oh.
Mikey's got stories.
He can tell a story about eight.
Hey, Mikey.
He likes it.
Yeah.
Oh, we
save that for the next one.
No, yeah. No, we're getting
that's its own. That's its own show.
That's a, yeah, that could be a show.
This is my cousin Mike.
Right.
Say hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah.
He's been sitting idle in the corner for
behaving.
Just so everybody knows, Mike.
He's got
his
pants on though.
Just so you know, Mikey saved our
lives
one time.
I like Bob's pantsless.
Right.
So
full Bob's skid mark Nelson.
Yeah. I have Bob's
clean
pants.
The couch later.
He's holding Bob's pants.
Mikey's got my pants.
He's the pants. Mikey the pants valet.
I'm just like here.
You have the claim check for your pants, sir.
Hold these. He's like no.
I don't think you're getting
these
back.
No, Mike saved our lives one time.
He did?
Yeah.
He did.
He come and got
That's
us.
What I meant to say.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. You were there.
You were there? It sounds like,
yeah, I was.
This sounds like a... Some
I was asleep.
Like, this was a multiple life-saving band, though.
It was.
People just kept lining up, pulling their asses out of the fire.
My wife came and saved us one time.
Yep. Who was...
We were eastbound 70, about 40 minutes out of Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah. Dead.
On the side of the road.
I don't know this story.
Van blown up.
Again.
Oil all over the road.
Again. Spilled.
Again. No, this would be the first one. Yeah.
History.
History. So you spend 6 hours on the road, standing there. What we had, we set the drums up right on the line.
That was me. That was our drummer.
Yeah.
Not this drummer.
But we took the photos.
We took the photos.
As the
we were
semis were flying behind you at about 3 inches, 6 inches away.
I don't think I'm even allowed to speak about that.
No, we are.
No, it's
the kid that can't
be named.
We're banned.
The man that walks behind the rose.
No, we can't talk about that.
No, we can talk about that.
No, we're banned. There's the federal government will be here in like Black Hawk helicopters and pick us out of the studio and confiscate.
We'd also like to
say the statute of stupidity is well gone by.
What's
now?
Up, Bruce?
I'm pretty sure the statute of stupidity is over by now.
Have we taken them on a tangent yet?
We're trying. I'm trying.
Sorry, Shane.
This is what the stuff's good for, man. It's good to go on weird tangents.
Yeah. So Mikey drove. So the van broke down on an Indian reservation. Okay. Middle of tour, New Mexico.
Rio Rancho. Right?
Rio. Well, actually, no. We.
Oh, really?
We're just pulling off for a pee break. We're talking, you know, gas station, maybe three pumps in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico. We all get out. I don't go to the bathroom. I'm just stretching my legs, you know, like everybody comes back, get in the van, turn the key, clicks. Click, 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 click. Oh, I wonder what's wrong. Click, 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 click. Now, this is the second time we're hearing these noises, but we're all like, what's happening? Click, 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 click. Boom! Oil. Engine. Smoke. There we are.
It don't work when you let the smoke out.
And when the smoke left the body, you saw the spirit rise and leave the desert.
So, middle of the desert, in New Mexico, Indian Reservation, there's nothing in sight but hills, you know, cactus.
Hills that lies.
This, yeah, right?
Yeah, it was like
so,
that.
So, and of all the time we're gone, right? No, this is the whole thing. So you're sitting there, the whole thing blows up, and what does it do in the middle of New Mexico, right? It starts fucking raining, right?
Raining.
It's raining.
In the desert.
In the desert, right? So the truck's blown up, I'm on the phone with AAA, and it's raining on me, right? Yeah, we're here, blah, 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 this is the address.
Cell phone.
Right? Because I'm going back and forth with the wife, you know, and she's, you know, getting the numbers and she's making the kind of, you know, getting me that so I can call, blah, blah, blah.
Bring him into the desert.
So here comes this guy, what, 2 hours later, you know, with his flatbed, he's going to pull up.
AAA.
Via AAA. So these guys decide to stay where they're at, me and one other guy.
Because we couldn't all ride in the tow truck.
We couldn't all ride in the tow truck. So it was me and one other guy. He pulls the trailer and the van all up on there.
He wouldn't let you ride the van with your seatbelts on?
No.
Because it was like strapped
to the back. It was like a flatbed.
Dude, I got towed one time in a giant-ass van like that. Dude, there was no room in the tow truck. We all stayed in the van, put the seatbelts on.
So we get everything loaded up. These guys stay put. We take off. So the guy driving the tow truck apparently knows Steven Spielberg. Okay? At this point, not only is all this going on, I have a sinus infection, okay? It's kicking my ass. I can't breathe. And this guy's talking about knowing Steven Spielberg, driving us 30 miles to Rio Rancho, New Mexico, because we're sitting in the middle of a reservation, right? So we get finally where we're going. He takes us to a gas station that has a shop that can fix our van. We drop it off. He takes us to a hotel. The rest of the guys, they all take a cab. Meet us at the hotel.
The longest, most expensive cab ride ever.
Right? We give them the address. They finally show up. So, one thing led to another. There was multiple things that I won't talk about. It was going on while we were at the hotel room. Because there's this problem, there's this problem, there's this problem. So, in the midst of all of this, I make the smart idea to call my cousin Mikey here.
That was a good idea.
Who was sitting here with us. And he drives 7 hours?
Oh, no.
No?
Yeah, seven.
About seven hours, yeah, right? Seven. In a borrowed truck.
I was speeding a little bit.
Oh, yeah. With a hitch to come and get us. Now, the only person that
from
he
Tucson,
knows...
From Tucson, Arizona.
We're in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Yeah. We're in Rio Rancho.
I borrowed the truck from a guy from Wisconsin who
looked
and
there you
acted
go.
Just like Larry the Cable Guy.
There you go.
Just going to throw that in there.
Larry the Cable Guy. So he drives all that way, and he gets there. He doesn't know anybody but me, right? I'm his cousin. He's like, you don't know the rest of the guys at all. Yeah. And he walks in the door, and what does he see? A guy neck deep in the trash can puking his guts out. So great.
Not me, by the way. Mom, if you're listening,
this is, I'm not going to name anybody, but all I'm saying...
That was not how Adam spent tour.
And there he is. He's like, oh, crap, I've got teenage daughters at home. I'm taking these guys home. What did I just do?
What did I sign up for?
Yeah, what did I just sign up for?
Oh, boy.
What kind of Lars and James BS am I bringing home?
So, thankfully... He drove us back to his house.
Back up now.
Everybody was a bona fide adult.
Well, I drove here. Might as well let these poor.
We spent 9 days at his house. Graciously, airplane flight back. I drive it all the way back now that it's fixed. 9 days,
well,
10 days
then,
later.
We made the show.
Oh, that's
Phoenix.
Right. And in between, we made the show to Phoenix at Alice Cooper's place,
and that was awesome.
We sold out of discs.
That was a sweaty night.
That was a sweaty night. We couldn't even get off.
Playing outside in Phoenix, Arizona in late July, early August is not exactly the best.
Play it again. They say it was a play it again Sam.
Yeah,
like, okay.
You guys need to keep going. Well, I don't know how much more water's in my butt. I was almost a prune that night.
Yeah. So anyway. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
To this, the 10 years later.
10 years later.
I
this week.
I will tell you.
This
I
week.
Got as much out of it as you did. I had the time of my life.
Yeah, we had a good time.
We had a good time. Tucson was amazing.
And that's one story.
Tucson has multiple stories. Some involving mountain lions.
There's layers to this.
But we'll save that for the next podcast.
Yes. Can I tell a story about Rick?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
We're missing at least one Rick.
This podcast has 18 layers.
I think we at least owe it to him since Dave didn't ask a question for him.
Right. So now I have a story about Rick since there was no
question. Oh, man.
So I'll make this quick.
And in Spanish.
I wish I could. And if I could do it in Catalan, I would do that even.
Oh, man.
But I can't. So there's actually a story of Rick. In his big van that he had.
The Jean-Claude Damn van.
He has no recollection of driving us on a short weekend tour.
Yep.
Well, whilst on that tour, we bought Adam's five-string
jazz band. Not this band. It was a band years ago.
Yes. Not this band. But here we are, me, Adam, Dave, and another buddy of ours, Mr. Scott Stoles.
What's up, Scott?
So Rick has no recollection of driving us all the way to Lawrence, Kansas, Adam picked up his five-string bass. Multiple shows, mind you. Lawrence is the only one I remember, unfortunately. So we're not entirely different at this point, because that's the only part of it I remember. But he has zero recollection of driving us there and back on that little short tour.
So what they claim happened is that we were there and Adam disappeared and we couldn't find him. And like
that is
running
true.
Down the street. And
we find here. It was you. You were like, there's a music store down here. I bet he's down there. So we go down there and we walk in and
also
there he is.
Clairvoyant.
Yes. So as he's there, he's at the where the cash register against. Remember. And he's sitting there.
No,
with the
I don't
string.
Remember any of this. I'm making it all up.
That's the whole point, right? Remember? So there he is, playing this blonde five-string bass. Remember?
Yeah.
The Fender Jazz bass. So anyway, sorry.
He at least bought it. Did he at least buy the bass?
Yeah.
No, he totally did. Yeah, we still have it.
He still has it to this day. Yeah.
Nice. Any bi-level fan will remember that bass fondly.
Yeah.
Bi-level
reference.
I believe it has a sticker on it, a bumper sticker on it that has George Bush, and it's a quote that says, "Who gives a fuck what you think?" That's George Bush. He said it, and it has the date and everything.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyway, sorry guys.
That's great. I love those road stories and stuff and all that life
we can
on
tell
the road.
A story about landing at a place where they had a General Lee outside.
Oh yeah.
Maybe not.
No, we'll save that.
We'll save that for another time.
Another podcast.
Yeah.
We could fill up all your podcasts.
Yeah.
We can tell you stories.
It's because we're old.
Old dudes have most tales.
Again, August 26th, Blueberry Hill. Keep an eye out also for new record. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Grab some of the Shredder and War is a Racket off of iTunes or Bandcamp or Spotify or to hold you over till the new tunes are ready. But you're going to get a preview right here of some, of some new songs. So
absolutely.
So strap in.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's been a lot of fun. I'll I'm hoping I'm going to try to take the night off and come party with that Blueberry Hill with you guys. So
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you a big hug.
All right. I look forward to it.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
call just to keep myself alive. A sad ride, robbed all the exits, man. In the B1 early
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.
Hey, this is Bald Eagle Mountain.
What are you doing? What's that?
One, go.
Hey, this is Bald Eagle Mountain, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
I said Bald Eagle Podcast.
Bald Eagle Podcast.
Okay, one more time.
Please get a print.
Okay, ready? Let me get my teleprompter ready.
Ready? One, two, three.